This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
A number of years ago, Joy and I were in Lakewood Church. This was many years back, and we headed up a ministry of special needs kids. And actually, Joy headed it up. I helped her. And the ministry began to grow, and we were reaching. So we had a dinner one night there at Lakewood for the head of their children's ministry and all the parents. And a lady came in, and she told Joy that she was going to help her cook. And she was going to create this. And what she was from Louisiana, and she was going to make gumbo. She's going to make gumbo and stew. And Joy is from Miami. She's Italian. She had never encountered the Louisiana style of cooking. And Joy said, this woman threw everything in the stew. Joy said, I didn't even know some of the stuff that was in that stew. She said, it just all went in the stew. And it was very spicy. And it was interesting because Joy and I got sick from eating that stew. We didn't even dare to ask if anybody else got sick. We just went on down the road with it. But she reminded me of it. I thought, oh, I've never forgotten that stew. That was quite an experience. Welcome to Louisiana. So that was something that was memorable for us. And this morning, you say, what in the world does that have to do with anything we're going to talk about in church? Well, actually, quite a lot. And this morning, this message is entitled, Fixing the Stew. It'll make more sense in just a moment. But can I share with you this morning that all of us have a stew in our lives, and that's usually our family situations. Yeah, we're going to have fun with this. You're going to like this. Probably what you want to do this morning is just look straight ahead and just go, yes, that is so good. I am so glad I'm here. Don't be thinking about who needs to hear this morning. But you know, how many of you realize, even just in a very simple, plain relationship, you marry someone, you don't just get them, you get their family. And nowadays, we have, if you've got multiple marriages, you have blended families. That's stew right there. You got blended families. And so this morning, we just want to talk about fixing the stew. Now, what do you do when you face family problems? That's a great question. How do you deal with it? Well, there's a lot of approaches. Some people enjoy the approach of, I'm going to deny it and ignore it and act like it doesn't even exist at all. That offers short-term relief and long-term disaster, because it doesn't get better when you simply deny or ignore something and think it's going to go away on its own. So that's one option. Then there's the folks that just get overwhelmed, and they just finally throw up their hands and go, I quit. I just quit. I'm not going to do anything. I quit. And it reminds me of the girl who came in one night from a date. She'd been dating this young man. They were engaged to be married. She came in. She slammed the door and burst into tears. Her mother was up and said, darling, what's the matter? She said, the wedding is off. The marriage is off. It's not going to work. And she said, why? He's a fine young man. She said, mother, he doesn't even believe in hell. He doesn't believe there's a hell. And I'm not going to marry him. The mother patted her on the shoulder. She said, oh, no, my darling, you go ahead and marry him. We'll prove to him there's a hell. Like I said, just look straight ahead. Don't say a word. The idea is sometimes it can be overwhelming. One of the best ways to resolve problems is to head straight into it, is to not ignore it. I recently read of a lady who's an author who was in an abusive relationship. She had an infant daughter, and she was poor, and she got out of that physically abusive relationship. She was living on welfare, but she didn't quit. She talked about the fact that, and alluded to the fact that even when she got down at her lowest, she realized, these things weren't my fault, but they're my responsibility. And often, many of you are sitting here today thinking of family situations that you're in, and they're not your fault. But are you willing to say, I'm going to make them my responsibility because I want to see them fixed? Now, I say that, and people can look at me and go, yeah, you don't know what I'm dealing with. And this is where the beauty of having a relationship with the Lord, this is where this really comes in, because God is the master of the turnaround. Amen. He's the master of fixing things. and turning things around for the different. Look, I'll read you a verse out of Isaiah. It's a great verse. It says, "Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." You say, "Well, that's really pretty, Alan. That's very metaphorically speaking." No, actually, when Jesus walked the earth, he became a living testimony that the eyes of the blind could be opened and the deaf could hear and the dumb could speak and the lame could leap like a hart, and God can turn situations around. Many of you have heard my story before when I talk about my relationship and Joy and I's relationship. And if you haven't, and you just see us on Sunday morning, you think, "Oh, she's so sweet, and he's tolerable. Surely they get along." That's how does that work that we had a lot of problems? And our early days in marriage, man, we fought a lot. We had family problems. We had from both sides. We had a lot of huge difficulty. And if you had looked at us 36 years ago, we've married 36 years now. If you'd have looked at us 36 years ago and said, "Hey guys, I got to tell you something," and before this is all said and done, you guys are going to love being with each other. You guys are going to be great friends. In fact, you guys are going to be able to help other marriages and help other people. And I'd have said, "Yeah, and the deaf can hear and the blind can see and the lame," because we didn't think it was possible. But with God, all things become possible, and he can take things and turn them around. Now, here's the deal. You say, "Well, Alan, he turned that around for you because you're a preacher." No, before I was a preacher, when I was a sales rep, he began to turn things around, because this is not job specific. This is God specific. And if you'll trust him, he can get things turned around. He can fix your stew. You say, "Well, are you going to talk about stew more?" Yeah. In fact, I'm going to read you a story from the Old Testament about God fixing the stew. Look at the story. Elisha returned, he was the prophet, returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets." So one went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered it from a lap full of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, probably the same thing with our Cajun stew, and they did not know what they were. And they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, "Man of God, there's death in the pot." And they could not eat it. So he said, "Then bring some flour." And he put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people that they may eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. So evidently God fixed stew. If he fixed that stew, he can fix your stew. Now here's the thing. They didn't mean to do this. No one intended to go out and get wild gourds and go, "Hey, there's a poisonous gourd. Let me just chop that up. That'll add a little flavor to the pot." No one intended to do that. Oftentimes we get in situations that are not our intent, but they're still harmful. And it was still a harmful situation. But I love what they did. They didn't just throw up their hands and go, "Well, I guess that's it. Throw it all out." They looked to Elisha. They said, "Man of God, there's death in this pot." Now, Elisha was a prophet. He was one of the individuals in the Old Testament before Jesus who had a real direct relationship with God. The prophets, the priests, and the kings were the ones that had the Holy Spirit upon them to help them and to do a task, to do a job. But they had a much more of a direct line than the rest of everyone else. So they looked at Elisha and said, "Hey, Elisha, we need your help." You say, "I really wish I could live back in those days." Oh, no, listen, we have a much better day we live in because of Jesus, because he went to the cross, because he shed his blood, because God raised him from the dead. Now you don't have to be a prophet, priest, or king. You can just be a regular, everyday believer and have the Spirit of God live on the inside of you and help you, and you don't even need somebody to go to God for you. You can pray, and God will hear your prayer. So we live in a better day. But at this time, they just said, "Hey, Elisha, man of God, there's death in the pot." And what Elisha did next was rather curious, because he said, "No, go get some flour and throw it in the pot." What? Flour? So when did flour become a non-toxin? When did it become something that would take the poison out of this stew? You have to realize this. Flour in itself won't, but when an idea comes from God, when something is inspired of God, even the very simple things become the powerful things. And that simple flour enabled them to eat it. Now, I realize it took some faith. He throws the flour in the pot, stirs it up, and Elisha said, everybody eat. I mean, I'm thinking, do I want to be first in line? No, I'm gonna put my buddy first in line. Well, you have some. I will follow you. But it took some faith to be able to say, great. But they trusted Elisha. They trusted that he heard from God. And he began to fix the stew in their life. Now, here's my thing. All of us have stew. All of us have situations. I'm just thinking about some of the family situations we have now. You marry someone, they have people in their life, there's in-laws, there's blended stuff, blended families, or just even the family tension of whose home are we going to for Christmas? Where are we going for the holidays? I mean, little things like that can blow up. And then every family's got some crazy people in the family that, like I said, just look straight ahead. They might be here. Just look straight. Everybody's got... Has everyone got a relative? You're like, they belong to us. They're ours. And so we've got some stew, and sometimes there's death in the pot, and there's problems in the stew. And how do we fix it? And that's what I want to talk about. I'll give you some practical ideas this morning on how you can begin to fix the stew. Here's the first one. Don't keep adding more death into the stew. Say, what in the world do you mean by that? When they found out there was a problem with the wild gourds, they didn't say, hey, go out and get some more wild gourds and put them in here. They stopped doing that. And oftentimes, when we face problems, we make them worse. So how in the world do you make them worse? I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you can just, if I gave you just a second to think, how many of you in your lifetime have had somebody say something to you that really hurt you and you still remember it? How many of you can remember something from as far back as 20, 30 years ago that something was said to you? Why? Our words have life to them. And that our words can bring life and healing, or they can bring death. Look what it says here in the book of Proverbs. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. You know, swords do damage. You're piercing with the sword. And what happens is we get in situations and we look at family situations, and instead of speaking healing words, what do we say? We say all kinds of things. I don't know how in the world we're going to deal with your crazy family, because if it wasn't for your crazy family, there would be peace in this house. But oh no, there's no peace because of you and what y'all got going on. They're like, oh no. You look at those kids and they are just like you, and they take after you, and it's... I know I'm the only one that's ever dealt with this. Like I said, just look straight ahead. But what we do is we face problems, and instead of talking the answer, we keep talking the problem. And we keep talking how bad it is. And we keep talking how wrong it is. And we keep talking about what they should have done and what they didn't do. And we get upset and angry. And what we're realizing is we're not helping it. We got the sword out, and we're swinging that sword around, and everyone's getting hurt instead of bringing healing into the situation. So, I don't even know what to say. How about saying this? I don't know what to do, but I know God will help us. I know He's never abandoned us. I know He'll never leave us or forsake us. He can help us in this situation. Let's don't count God out. We get Him involved, and He can help us in this situation. When you get in the middle of the stew, make sure your words are good. None of you would ever put up with a teacher who said to your young 6 or 7 year old, well, and they came home and they're crying, they're like, Mommy, the teacher said I'm stupid and I don't have a future. You wouldn't look at them and go, well, darling, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. How many of you realize that's the biggest lie that was ever propagated? You can heal from sticks and stones, but you realize the words, that you would not put up with those words on your child. How many of you would be having a teacher-parent conference really, really quick if they said that to your kid? Don't act like you're innocent. I would too. I'd be the first one calling because I realize your words are important. And if a teacher's words are important, guys, your words are just as important. And when you're facing difficult family situations, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. And trust that the Lord will help you. Don't add more death to the pot. There are some ingredients that you're going to need to take out of your family stew and some you can put in. Say, really? Yeah. Scripture says this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all kinds of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Guys, I can tell you right there, those right there can fix more family stew than anything else. Kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, watching the slander, watching the words that are harsh. Just, it will make all the difference. And when Joy and I married, Joy is from an Italian family. Her family is 100% Italian. Joy is the second generation born in America. When I taught her English, our relationship improved dramatically. No. She came to this country and her family did. Brooklyn, traditional Italian family. They scream at one another. They yell at one another. They tell each other unbuffered what they think of one another. I am from the South. That is not how we fight. How we fight is we wait till you're gone to talk about you. True? We smile, look at you, and go, oh, how you doing? You doing good? How's your mom and them? Good. And then they leave. You're like, bless her heart. If she gets any bigger, I'm telling you what, she's going to blow up like a balloon. In the South, they look at you and go, hey, what's happened to you? You gained weight. I mean, that's in the North, I'm sorry. Just straight up. So our family's married. And they came together. North met South. And buddy, it was on. Because not only did I have a challenge with Joy, I had a challenge with Joy's family. Her mom comes to the church. She's not here now, so I can tell her this. she and I have talked about it. She was a strong personality. I was a strong personality. And buddy, when we met, it was tough. She looked at me one time, Jordan, I've been married 6 months. She looked at me, she said, well, in my house. She said, mi casa es su casa. My house is your house. I looked at her in my 22 years of wisdom and said, in my house, you're a guest. And thus it began. I want to tell you something, I messed that stew up pretty good. I mean, if her mom said ying, I said yang. If she said black, I said white. It was a loggerhead. It hurt our relationship. You say, well, what did you do? Did you just pray? And this is what people do. I'm praying, God, you only pray, Lord, just, I know some of y'all pray this way. Lord, kill them. Just take them out of the way. Lord, just take them. And that doesn't work. So here's what happened. I'm praying. Remember the Bible said, be kind, tender-hearted. If you stay tender-hearted to God, he'll make you tender-hearted toward people. And I'm praying, and the Lord just impressed me real strong. You need to apologize to Joy's mom and family. Get thee behind me, Satan. I know that. No, that was the Lord. And I can remember, I was in Joy's apartment in Clear Lake City, and I called, and I said, I want to tell you something. I said, I want to apologize to you. I said, I have been wrong. I didn't handle this well. This is, and I ask you to forgive me. Listen, and when you apologize, don't say but. Just leave the but out. You need a buttless apology. I just said, no excuses, I'm sorry. And the healing process began. See, God has flour that he can put in relationships. And family situations can change. And relational situations can change. Some of you are thinking, yeah, Alan, I wish it was that simple. If I could fix my family situation, I would do it. If an apology would fix it, I don't know what to do. Well, if you don't know what to do, do what they did in the scriptures. When they said to Elisha, man of God, there's stew here. Go to the one who does know how to fix it. Go to the one who can give you wisdom. And when you get God's wisdom on this, it makes all the difference in the world. Say, I don't even know how to pray for this. Here's a great prayer. It's in the book of James. If any of you lacks wisdom, and that was us, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, he's not going to criticize you, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You're in a situation and you're like, and you're thinking, this is not my fault. But you're going to make it your responsibility because you want to see it get fixed. And you begin to pray, Lord, one of the best ways to pray is you come to God and go, Heavenly Father, you are God and you know what to do. I don't know what to do. You know what to do. Nothing is hidden from you. All things are light to you. You are the God of light. I ask you for wisdom concerning my family situation, this situation. I ask you for wisdom. Show me what to do. And now, Lord, I thank you for it. Now, here's the deal. Sometimes when you ask for wisdom, don't just sit there and wait for a bolt of lightning from heaven. When you ask for wisdom, thank the Lord for wisdom. The Bible says, let him ask in faith. What does that mean? That means before I see an answer, before I know what to do, I'm thanking the Lord because he's faithful to his word. If we ask, he'll give. And so we just begin to say, and here's the tendency. You finish praying, you get up and walk out, someone will say, what are you going to do about that? And you're about to say, I have no earthly idea. And you just catch yourself and go, I trust the Lord's going to help me. He's going to show me what to do. See, faith is not something that you just stir up and you're like, I'm a faith person. I'm in faith. No, you just go, Lord, thank you. I'm going to thank you ahead of time. I believe you. I trust you. I know you can help me in this situation. I thank you. Before I ever see an answer, thank you that wisdom's coming. I can't tell you what kind of peace that will bring into the situation. Because now you've made that connection with the Lord. Now, I believe answers are on the way. I really believe. Guys, if you'll do that, you can go home. You can do it on the way home. And you can just pray and say, Lord, we need your wisdom. And we thank you for an answer. And we're going to praise you until we see it, until it's done. Make all the difference in the world. Here's the other one too. It will take faith sometimes to follow God's answer. Sometimes he'll prompt you to do something. I've been prompted over the years to do everything from apologize to people, to walk up to people. I mean to actually give things to them and do things. And you're thinking, man, that doesn't make sense. I don't see how that's going to fix it. Well, I'm sure that's what those sons of the prophets thought when Elijah said, throw some flour in this thing. God's flour can fix things. When God prompts you to do something and you just step out and do it, it'll make all the difference in the world. And you trust him on that. Joy and I had the singles at Lakewood when we started. This was years and years ago. And they changed the singles up. They made all the older singles leave. Everyone that was mad at us, because it wasn't even our fault. It was our responsibility. And people left, and the group dwindled down to about 12. This is at Lakewood Church, a big church. And I remember a lady walked in one night. She said, I was so excited. This is after I preached. She said, I was so excited when I got here, and now I'm so depressed. I said, you and me both, sister. I know exactly. We looked up one day, and all we had in that group of 12, was two Elvis impersonators and their mother, who looked like she's 150 years old. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, what are we going to do about this group? This group wasn't growing. It wasn't going anywhere. This was our family. It was our stew. And we prayed, and the Lord gave us an impression. And so a scraggly group showed up next week. We're here. We all loaded up in cars and went to a nursing home and ministered to the people there. Then they showed up the next week, and we went out to a rehab center and ministered to the people there. And then they showed up the next week, and we went out and worked. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense if your group is not growing to send them out and do outreaches. But when God gives you an idea, it will work regardless of what it looks like in the natural. And that group exploded. We were within a year, we were close to 200 singles that would come on a Friday night because God knows how to fix your stew. You say, well, how do I really know God can fix my stew? Because he did it a long time ago. The world was looking around and all the darkness and depression and angst, and the world is crying out to God, God, there's death in the pot. And God said, I got just the fix for it. I got just the flour. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life, would not perish, no death. I'll tell you something, God knows how to fix. He fixed the world's stew. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Would you bow your head with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray this morning And I pray, Father, for all the family stews that are going on today. Thank you that you have answers for everyone. You're not stumped by any of them, and that nothing's impossible for you. Lord, that many of them, I join with them in believing that you have wisdom. You can show them. You can give them answers. Things can change. Things can turn around. You are still the God who makes streams in the desert. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We'll give you all the praise for it. And Father, until we see the wisdom, we'll just keep thanking you for it because we trust you. You're faithful. Now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you would just give me a couple more minutes, if you came this morning and said, Alan, I don't even have a relationship with the Lord that I know of, or I'm just not confident of that, but I want to be. Or you say, I used to walk with God. I used to have a relationship with God. I was close to him, and I've gotten so far away from him. I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. It's a simple prayer, but it's a powerful prayer. And this is a connection prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. Our intent's never to embarrass. Our intent is to connect. So this morning, if that's you that I'm talking to, you say, I do want to be confident in my relationship with the Lord, or I want to come back to him. Would you pray for me? I'm going to do that, but I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Just simply slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, that's me that you're talking to. Alan, would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Yeah, way in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thanks. Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Now, maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to, didn't do it, but you wanted to. Well, listen, you can pray this prayer. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. We're going to pray it out loud. And so I'm going to lead you in it. You just join it. But pray it so you can hear yourself. These are powerful words that you're praying. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord, those who've stepped into your marvelous light and those who step back into the light, thank you that you welcome them into your family. They'll never be alone. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.